All right, we are live in 3, 2, 1. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Bachelor Exchange with me, your host, Israel Casas, and
Luis Cortez. And today we have one of Israel's friends joining us today. It's my first time meeting him, actually. And his name is Graven. I don't know his last
Cruz.
Name. Cruz. GC on the third mic in the hot seat. How you doing, Graven?
Good, man. How are y'all?
Doing good. So we're doing this podcast a little later tonight. You know, normally you do this right after work, but tonight we're doing it at 8:30, which is kind of late.
Yeah, 8:30. This is probably the latest we've ever recorded our podcast, but we wanted to make time for our good friend Graven here.
So I might be yawning a little bit, so don't worry.
Yeah, man. Probably. So what's up, Graven? How's life?
Good, man. Pretty good. Just went for a run before I came here. That's why I got delayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
had to get the run in, you know?
Yeah. That's good, man. I need to hop on that game. I need to start running.
Dude, I can't run either, dude. I came back from my vacation. I started to run a little bit, but I came back and, geez, that weather. I step outside, I'm like, I'm sweating by the time like I decide if I want to run or not. I'm like, oh,
that boy. Louis, I'm going back in. That boy Louis stays wheezing, bro.
Dude, it's bad. It's bad. That's why I don't play soccer.
Yeah, so to the audience, I met Graven playing soccer. I actually met him through a mutual friend that we then found that we have like a thing that we enjoy, and that is soccer. And yeah, Graven's been around the game for a good minute. I wish he was in that podcast earlier when we were talking about our minority story, because it would have been awesome with him, because he came over here like at 18 years old, you know?
Yeah, this man,
you know,
didn't we choose the American life.
Yeah. I heard that one today, actually.
Oh, yeah? Oh, really? What'd you think about that episode?
It was fun.
Yeah,
I remember you said that you hung out with mostly white kids, right?
That's right.
And you, yes, you hung out with white kids, but they were the minority there.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah. That so the majority of the people I hung out with were white, but those were the minority. You know, I just played my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. You know, I stole a couple Blue Eyes White Dragons. Nothing big. You know, a little hustle out there. Had to fuck around and throw out the Exodius every now and then.
Damn, man. Taking it back.
Yeah, so, yeah, man. We just brought Graven for a casual conversation. This is going to be more of a random conversation podcast. You know, we usually have topics, but now we're just going to jump around, just kind of get to know each other a little bit more than we actually do. And, yeah.
So, yeah, Graven, where did you come from?
My mom's womb. No.
Facts, same.
Yeah, I was born in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Central America.
Pure Vida, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's their slogan.
So, yeah. I don't know shit about Costa Rica, and I want to be educated. Can you tell me a little bit? Like, what is the...
It's not an island, just so you know.
It's not an island?
Yeah, I know. Okay, word. It was an island.
No, I didn't. Okay, yeah, I did.
See?
Okay, anyway. So,
where do you want me to start?
So, yeah, is it an island?
It is not an island.
All right, cool. See? Ignorancy level lowered. So I'm good.
So I would say the next important question is, how are the women?
Oh, yeah. How are the women?
Two eyes, two hands.
Damn.
Two ears.
So they're not mutants?
Most of the time.
They're not mutants.
They're not mutants. Okay.
No, I mean, I guess that question is kind of related to how diverse it is, because, you know, that you're talking about, like, what they look like on the outside, right? Like their phenotype.
Well, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about how they are on the inside. How's their personality?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are they like basic?
Yeah, you thought
girls?
It was all physical? Nah, dude. Yeah, dude, I'm all about the emotional health out here.
Yeah, we talked about the five love languages back for Valentine's Day. We're all about the emotional side.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
is
we
that
don't.
From that Gary Chapman book or whatever?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. The five languages, no. I think it's just like a philosophy being passed around a lot and has been very accurate to love life. So, you know, I always try to share it with people whenever I come around the topic of love. They're like, do you believe in love? I'm like, no, but I know the five languages. You know, I can transition it to what's up. But yeah, Costa Rican woman, bro. Luis wanted to know. So what is the percentage? Is it really like common to find a hot Costa Rican?
Oof. I mean, we have 4 million or 5 million people total in the country.
Yeah.
And like the Central Valley area where the four biggest cities are, they're the highest like density of population in the, so there's like a million there. So if you go there just by sheer, you know, amount, yeah, you're going to see a lot more quote hot.
Quote unquote hot. Girls. Hot
I mean, the thing is that that's subjective, right? Like, I mean, every my like for instance, my change, my taste has evolved over time, and I remember going back 2 years ago and being like really surprised by how just how many beautiful girls there were. Crazy that you asked that actually, because from my high school, dude, there's been like two or three like beauty pageant winners or whatever. Like yeah. Miss Costa Rica, there's like two of those, and then this other one won some other thing. So yeah, just my high school, now that like 10 years after I graduated, is just popping out supermodels.
So would
you
know
how many came from my high school? Zero.
Yeah, zero over here too. Yeah, man, the globe game is pretty crazy out here. Yeah. But yeah, man, that's cool. We got pageants out there. What were you about to say, Luis?
So I was about to say, you know, since your tastes have evolved, what's changed in your taste?
Yeah,
know?
Dude, like, what is it? The biceps on a woman? Like, my hair? What's up?
Is it how they wink at you?
Yeah, is it how they look at you? Do they stare into your soul and you're just like, that's the one?
Okay, I mean, this is kind of broad, but okay, first I'm gonna preamble this by saying that any distinction that I make in taste, like, is gonna sound inherently a little bit douchey and like shallow. That's now okay. Now that I said that, okay,
that's okay.
Yeah.
So we're men, bro. Come
this
on.
This is who you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well. I don't know. I think there's levels to this. Let's see. Let's start with. Let's actually work our way up there. Let's start with girlfriend.
Yeah. What do you look for?
I mean, I'm huge in like intelligence. I feel like a lot of people. That sounds like a cliche, but a lot of dudes feel a little bit intimidated with when a girl can like hold an intelligent conversation. You know. Mm-hmm. But I actually like that. I feel comfortable feeling dumb, you know, or like, oh shit, like mind blown. Mm-hmm. It's actually, to me, it feels good to be mind blown. Like, it gives you something to look for. Like, you know, it's like discovery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when you're a kid, you're constantly learning stuff.
So you have some depth to her.
Yeah. And yeah, of course. So there's that. And if they have like some weird expertise that they do for a living,
like a masseuse.
Well, no, I meant like on more like on academia.
Oh, academia.
Not that you can't be an academic
like a masseuse
massage.
Teacher.
Like
precise. She has a theory and the practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No,
she's a business minded.
No, yeah, like if somebody does, no offense, but if somebody does like accounting, like I'm not gonna find a lot of stuff to talk about with her or him or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about.
So you're like, it sounds like to me you're into the more artistic type.
Yeah, like people that do anything related to humanities, you know.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I think I feel like everyone. I feel like every girl. Don't quote me on this, but I feel like every girl should have like some artistic way. Like, I mean, the same for men. We should all have like a way to express ourselves in an artistic way. Like, you know, some people choose painting, the other chooses singing, stuff like that. And I feel like. Showing your unique self to another person, like if you're a really good singer and you show them that, or like you busted out of karaoke and shit, they're like, damn dude, she's talented.
I agree. Even if you're bad at art, it's just really good for you, because there's many ways. You mentioned the five love languages. I personally don't believe in that, but I will say there's many ways that one can express yourself, you know. And sometimes you don't know how to put things into words, or, you mm-hmm. know, so sometimes artistic expression can help you bring stuff out like that. I don't know if you guys remember that George W. Bush turned out to be a painter. I mean, a shit painter.
But I think like, I remember did hear something
yeah,
about that.
And it, to me, was a very interesting phenomena to observe that, because when he was president, I didn't think of him as a deep or artistic guy at all. And then when you see all the stuff that he did in foreign policy, all the brutal shit that he did with the war, where he lied to start the war and all that shit, I thought of him as a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's painting like pictures of his dog. And I'm like, oh shit, George Bush is like He's got a sensitive side to him.
The man,
good
the man.
Good for him, you know?
Yeah. Like,
I guess he couldn't show it while he was trying to start yeah. a war.
He's like, nah, not these dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck, that's fucked up. But, yeah. yeah. But true. Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Do you do anything artistic besides this?
I do not.
I think he, if I were to choose something artistic for Luis to be, and hopefully, you know, he pursues it, it's mixology.
Mixology?
Yeah.
He likes cocktails?
So cocktails.
Nice, dude. That's really nice.
That's actually like a pretty cool thing that I feel like you would be into.
I do enjoy drinking.
Because like, and honestly, like a mixology, yeah, I mean, there's going to be the art in that. And then like, plus the personality of a storyteller and a very happy person, I feel like, behind the bar. Mm-hmm. Or the person that you're serving, I feel like it'll be a great time. Plus, once you serve it, you have a cheers.
Oh, I do, yeah.
See, so I feel like that would be like a power move for you to learn in the future.
Yeah, I guess I would say my artistic side is my storytelling.
Yeah.
I don't really like write it down, but whenever I tell stories to people about my life or things that I've heard, I do express myself a lot in those.
Yeah, no, I don't want you to go, you know, down in the garage and fucking start mixing liquids and shit.
Really?
I need you to like actually do alcohol.
Like, I've been whipping up a batch of moonshine.
That's not mixology. Wait, so do you just enjoy cocktails or you actually make them?
No, I enjoy them. I can make them every now and then, but all the pieces you have to get for them for just one drink, I normally don't do that because it's like, do I really want to keep drinking the same thing over and over again?
It's very true.
So I feel like, I don't know, I always say when I'm older, but I'm already 25, but dude, I'll have my own little, like, what do they call that, the bar cart,
yeah,
and just like slowly just like buy a bunch of stuff,
dude. Me too.
And
that's what
that
I want
way, like, I'll just have it all over time. Like, I'll just make that one drink and then I'll just have it there.
Yeah, I thought about this, and I think the key is moderation. And like taking buying only good stuff first of all, and then like really cherish it, and not just like
just down it.
Yeah, it's not like it's just rice, you know. You just have alcohol. The people I live with have a lot of different alcohols, but they're good. And he's got like bitters, and by he I mean like my landlord / roommate.
Mm-hmm.
If you come sometime, like. Dude, he makes some killer cocktails. He
makes some good drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you in a house or an apartment?
Yeah, I live in a house with four other folks. It's a 3-story house.
Really?
It's a pretty cool house. I've been to his place and has played some FIFA. No, not FIFA. What'd I do? I was there just chilling. I was just hanging out with a homie.
Watching TV and stuff.
Yeah, listening to Hispanic music. Nothing crazy. Mm. Good vibes only.
Are you a dancer?
He actually is. I have a couple Snapchat stories, but the difference is yeah, I have them saved. But the difference is he was drunk in those.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. I view dancing the same way I view art, in the sense that even if you're shit at it, you should, you know, every now and then give it a chance.
I'm a big dancer.
Even if I don't consider myself a good dancer now, but
okay.
Yeah, I don't consider myself a great dancer either. I have like the perfect white dance. Meaning I just move my body as much as possible to the rhythm. But that's really it. I don't have any, you know, some formal dancing. I just look stupid, but I'm happy about it.
But here's the thing. Like, from the artistic perspective in this case, that's what the song was meant for. It's for somebody to enjoy it and experience it, right?
Yeah.
Because there's two kinds of art, basically, from the perspective of a graphic designer. There's art that you make to serve a business purpose. That's design. It doesn't have to be pretty. It has to like sell that thing, right? And then there's
it's kind of like free write,
right? And then there's art for art's sake, which is somebody expressing themselves on some media, whether it's sound, paint, or whatever, a sculpture.
Yeah.
And then there's the viewer, the beholder, or whatever, like the saying goes, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And it's just trying to communicate some feel or whatever. And if you're feeling that song, you're enjoying it and moving your body, who are other people to tell you, like,
yeah,
hey,
dude,
man, like, I think humans are silly to be like, no, dance has to be this. You got to move here and then
it's just
here.
Haters. Like, that's just the haters, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... It's like, fuck this guy enjoying time.
I can appreciate somebody executing a dance really well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, relax, man. If, like, so, if somebody, you know, whoa, like if you watch tango, like that looks so rigid and like ritual, like aggressive and ritualistic. It's just kind of off-putting a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, for real, like when I'm dancing, I'm in my own world. So I don't even look at the people around me. Literally, like they could be judging. They could be like competing. I wouldn't give a fuck. I would just be like dancing and enjoying the music. I think like when I go out and dance and I drink a little bit of alcohol with it, you know, it's kind of like, oh shit, I'm in my own world. Cool, I'm straight.
And I think that's why people do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, outside of dancing, where outside of like going out to dance, where are you really going to move your body like that? At the grocery store?
I don't know, man. Sometimes. Background music?
Yeah, I mean, unless you take classes and go to an actual dancing gym.
A gym?
Yeah.
I would compare playing soccer to
yeah.
I get the same benefit out of it in the sense that it's an activity that's physical. So, yeah, you're going to get endorphins out of it.
Yeah.
Undeniably. And then when you're playing, nothing else exists outside of like the rectangle.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. So like whenever I have problems, yeah, it sucks when the game is over and you're like, oh shit, this other thing is still happening. But in the hour and a half, 2 hours when you're playing, I know it sounds super cliche. It's like that quote from Fast and Furious, but it's true, man. Like there's a meditative element to it. And some people find that in dance. Other people find that in,
yeah,
running,
yeah,
just something where they can almost clear their mind and just focus on this one thing. It's like being in the zone, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense. I mean, my favorite dancer / soccer player is Ronaldinho.
That
motherfucker's great.
Ronaldinho's the highest expression of Brazilian soccer because he's not only good, he won everything that he won in the time when he, you know, wasn't partying that much and he was taking it seriously.
Yeah.
But he also, like, he was always smiling, man. And everything he did was, like, super flamboyant and, like...
Dude, he made everyone look silly on the field.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I love watching Ronaldinho highlights.
Yeah, it's like you're an expert player and everyone's an amateur player. Like, he just made it look fun.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It's a shame that he got so much into partying, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was his downfall, his career. He could have had like more years in front of him, but he chose the party lifestyle. Mm. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm not gonna down him like as if I wouldn't have chose that, but
she was like year one.
I mean, that happens to so many athletes because they don't have like a foundation in academia or like that great education usually because they use sport to like rise from their circumstances, so they see themselves overnight with like just millions of dollars and all the attention in the world and like they'd lose their shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because that's the first time they've ever been exposed to that much money. Literally, I feel like if I was exposed to that much money early on in my life, maybe I would have gone broke, you know? I feel like most of us, we learn about money management through our struggles. We're like, man, I have to eat bread today because I totally like overspent the other day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's no really formal money management class in high school or anything.
Yeah, no, you would have to decide to do that in college. And that stuff, man, is so fundamental. I see it with my parents. My parents didn't go to high school.
Yeah.
They only did elementary school in the 60s in rural Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and... like what you're saying about, you know, having nothing and then having a lot or having some, there are certain behaviors that tell you who has had that trajectory. Yeah. Both of my parents grew up in like pretty bad condition. My mom, I think, was a little worse off because she had, fun fact, my grandma had 15 kids.
15?
Yeah. Damn. And
where was your mom at? And somewhere in the middle? Oldest? Youngest?
Middle.
Yeah. So she was like 11.
Is that her name? 11.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Once. No. No, no, no.
Once, ven acá.
No, but so my mom shows that she's coming from that background in that she's a little bit of a hoarder. Like she has a hard time throwing stuff out, you know? Mm-hmm. Even if, like,
I feel like that's with, like, immigrant parents in general. They, like, hold everything because of the emotional meaning to them.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to throw away anything that still has value to it.
Yeah. And my dad is more, like, with food. My dad hates to waste food. So if, like, something's going to go to waste, he'll just eat it instead. Wow. And, like, I mean, he's not, like, 600 pounds or anything. But he's a pretty active guy. But still, you know, he, like, eats a lot. He hates weight. And he, like, really predicated that onto us. Not, like, throwing out food at all. So you can really tell they're, like, I got something now. I'm not fucking letting it go.
Yeah.
It's just that attitude.
That's a whole different, like, mindset, man. I feel like, you know, when older generations talk about millennials being, like, weak or not as, not as proficient as older generation. Well, I wouldn't say I completely disagree with that, you know? I feel like we were raised in a high economy, you know, and we have different hardships, but I don't want to downgrade the hardships. But, you know, it was a different life back then.
Yeah. There's no doubt that things have gotten better over time for most people, right?
Yeah.
But I have a huge problem with broad labels that just paint a broad group of people with, you know, a broad brush. I fucked up the term, but because, for instance, I'm a millennial, right? But I have met a lot of people from my same age that were born in the same year and everything that could never imagine some of the things that I went through. And I had a great childhood, dude. Let me tell you, it was great. I was super happy. I never was hungry. I was never hungry or cold or anything. My dad has a grocery store. Like, I had a great childhood, but I had a black and white TV with, like, the knobs that, like, you, like, they would, like, make a really loud noise whenever you turn it on, and the picture would, like, it would be just black on the screen and then a little dot, and then it would expand, and you could hear the fucking radiation, and it made a noise like you, like, and I mean, that's not a hardship by any means, but stuff like that makes me super appreciative of remotes. 4K screens, for instance.
And, like, remotes.
So in a lot of, remotes. Or, like, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm not that. And I'm not trying to sit here and pat myself in the back, although that's what I am doing. But, like, I'm really not that entitled in some senses. The point I'm trying to make is that if I think there's more in common between people geographically than, like, generationally. Because you can't compare a millennial that was born in Zimbabwe with somebody that was born in Alpharetta. That was a marketing term that is used for a market segmentation, right, for ages. But it's understood when you're talking about it in marketing terms that it has to do with a region. You're trying to sell to a certain region of people. Mm-hmm. Certain, and then I feel like somehow I made it into politics, and now it means like everyone in the whole country, because I still believe, like, you can't compare somebody from, I don't know, Columbus, Georgia, somebody really poor, with somebody that grew up in, like, Santa Monica or something, like, nice, you know?
Yeah.
That's true. I agree with that.
Yeah, but I do agree that the stuff that, like, our hardships now are way, like, nothing compared to the stuff that our parents went through. I mean, I can imagine your parents came here, right?
They're in a different they have different hardships. I had the same, like, lifestyle as you. Like, my upbringing was, like, no worries at all. I got literally everything I wanted. I had always had food on my plate, and I had an abundance of friends in my cul-de-sac, you know.
Nice, dude.
So, you know, I feel like up to now, I didn't really have that many hardships. And let's see.
Up till now, so you got a lot of hardships now?
Yeah, man, dude. You know,
life got real.
Yeah, man. My bread expired yesterday. And
your
now
bread expired?
Yeah, dude. I have to go buy some more shit.
I think
shit.
It just gets moldy.
Yeah, you know, you can't just open the fridge and shit's just there like you're in your parents' place. You know?
True.
Now when Israel's like, yo, we got food at home, like, nah, we don't have food
it's
at
like,
home.
Bro, buying ingredients is half the job.
Yeah.
Then you're like, gotta cook it. And then it has to be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, man. Israel, what'd you have? You just had a little salad tonight.
I had
some sloppy Joe chicken.
Yep.
Did you even, like, warm up the sloppy Joe chicken?
Yeah, I did. It was on the microwave for 3 minutes. Solid. Shout out to microwaves, though.
So, Graven, being that you're from Costa Rica and you came to America when you were 18, right?
Yeah.
What was, like, the biggest shocker to you? Because have you been to America before you turned 18?
I had not.
You had not.
So, wait, what made you want to come here?
Cold turkey. A full ride scholarship.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. So, what was the biggest shocker when you came over from?
Biggest shocker? That's a good one. I mean, so first of all, I was really excited to come. So I wasn't like scared or homesick at all. But also, this is something about me. Like, I don't know why, but I usually react to things a little bit late. Mm-hmm. Like something really sad happens, for instance. And like when my grandma passed, I was like, okay, yeah, this is sad. I get it. But she's 97. And mm-hmm. all right. And then, like, and then months later, dude, one day I was thinking about her and I started crying. Similarly, it takes me a little bit to, like, internalize, like, strong emotions like that. So whenever I remember when I came here, October 13th, 2010.
Was it Friday the 13th?
It was not. I don't remember what it was, but I'm not superstitious. But yeah, I was like riding this like shuttle from the airport to the building where my scholarship, you know, had their office and stuff. And I was looking at these buildings like way bigger than any structure in my hometown. I never went to San Jose that much, like the mm-hmm. capital in Costa Rica, and we don't have buildings that tall in Costa Rica either. So, and I was like, oh, cool. I mean, I was admiring it, but I wasn't like shocked. The first time when I was like stunned in the situation where I was like, what do I do, was when I went to the post office in my school and this guy talked to me in the thickest southern accent imaginable because my English was pure classroom, bro.
Yeah,
like oh hi, how are you, my name, like, you know. The yeah. colloquial part wasn't there because you get that when you're in like immersed in the culture. And this guy was like, how the heck can I holler at you? I was like, what? What do I, like, I was looking side to side, like, what do I do? Who do I talk to? Like, is there, like, a thing on my phone that could, like, translate? It was difficult to, like, pick all that up. And even some professors had it not that bad, of course. But mm-hmm. to some degree, like, not what I was used to. Because when you take when you are a foreign student trying to go to university here, you gotta pass a test called the TOEFL, and it's an English test, and you have to practice your reading, you know, listening, all these things, and like speaking too. Mm-hmm. And so we would have like on the CDs that you buy to practice for this test, they have like a lecture from a biology professor from Cambridge and somebody from Jamaica and like a Scottish person, just trying to like flex make your ear train
mm-hmm. to the different accents.
Right. But they didn't
have it for this guy.
No, they didn't have a Appalachian accent in there.
Like, they didn't bring in Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, no. So that was kind of like tough to adapt to, but other than that, I mean,
you were like, you came into campus, you're like, I'm ready to talk to the first Jamaican that comes up to me.
And I did. I had a couple of Jamaican friends, and friends from Trini, and friends from England, and like, yeah. But the deep southern ones.
Yeah, you were like, what the fuck is this? Yeah.
Dude, it's like, such a curveball.
He's like, good day, sir. How are you doing? He's like, I'm returning. Good day. How y'all doing today?
Tipping my hat and my
monocle. Tipping his hat.
Yeah, similarly with like inner city Atlanta people too.
Like, yeah, I mean,
very mumbled.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of the slang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The slang part, of course. You don't know any of the slang. You don't know the cultural references. You don't know. But
so, yeah. What year did you actually feel like you got everything down?
Okay, it's 2019 and Trump is president, so I definitely don't fucking understand this country at all. But
that's okay. I don't either.
Yeah, no, I don't have it down. I think I mean, the thing about a culture is that it's ever evolving, right? So you're always just, until the day you die, you're trying to adapt, and then eventually you're too old that you don't adapt, and then you just reject everything.
You just say, I only got a couple more years. What's the point?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but so my freshman year, there were a total 9 Costa Ricans in that school from the same scholarship, and we, like, hung out pretty much with Colombians and Venezuelans only. But my sophomore year, I started dating a woman.
A white girl?
Who happened to be Caucasian, yes. Oh.
Wait, why do you find it so ashamed, bro?
No, I'm not ashamed. Okay. I'm just ironizing about how some people say, happen to be African-American, because they're scared of saying they're black.
Oh, so you're just like,
so I'm just ironizing. Nobody's scared of saying it happens to be white. She white. And yeah, that helped a lot because, you know, first of all, hung out with her a lot and talked and listened to, because before that I would only speak English in class.
Mm-hmm.
And then just getting introduced more to the culture and actually going out into, like, meeting strangers, like meeting her parents and stuff. That was kind of freaky.
Yeah. You walked in, you're like, fuck, man, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah. Her mom was so nice. Oh, she liked me a lot. Yeah. But it was still freaky before you, like, know what's going to be there. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys watched Get Out?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies.
No, really? Okay, so I haven't watched Get Out at all.
Wait, were you dating her before or after Get Out?
No, way after. Excuse me, way before. This was in 2011.
Oh, 2011.
My sophomore year. But I had another experience and another relationship that has a lot of similarities with Get Out. Obviously not the crazy killing, all that part. Just like the micro things, like, you like soccer? Oh, cool. And they say something to try to relate to you, like, I watch a soccer game once. And you're like, oh, cool, thanks.
He's like, I'm glad you came over today. We are making your favorite. We're making tacos.
Yeah, exactly. Like, things where they, you know, you have to really, I like to take people's intention into consideration. If I genuinely feel like they don't have the intention to offend me, I understand, because ignorance, you can't judge being ignorant. You can't choose to learn something like what you don't know what you don't know, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But they would say stuff like that, like, oh, you're from Costa Rica? I love volcanoes. Or like, I have a friend from Puerto Rico. And like, I'm like, what does that got to do with me?
Yeah, everybody thinks Costa Rica is an island. That's why. They think it's in the Caribbean.
Yeah, I think,
among other things, I've been asked where in Mexico is Costa Rica located. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, volcanoes, man. I haven't met many people who have come up to me and be like, I love volcanoes.
You mean volcanoes?
Yeah, like, bro. What the heck? Literally, my present for another girlfriend's dad was a book on volcanoes that I bought in Costa Rica.
Yeah. Wait, what? He bought a book?
No, I bought him a book when I was in Costa Rica that was about volcanoes.
Does he like volcanoes?
I mean, he just always asked me random, like, stuff about the country, and I didn't mind talking to him. He was really nice, and he liked me, but I could tell that he was trying to relate to me for dear life, and we were so different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like,
you felt it, like, being forced?
Like, on Get Out, I'm going to spoil it for you and all the uncultured swine that haven't watched it.
It's been out for long enough.
Yeah. There's a part when the guys talking to Chris, the black boyfriend, and he's like, I would have totally voted for Obama a third time, like that kind of thing. Yeah. That they call microaggression now, you know. It does make it a little bit awkward.
It's just like, no, it's just being brought out of the blue and shit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, don't acknowledge that I'm different.
Yeah, but honestly, I like the effort. You know, I like the effort, you know, because it's like, it's generally people trying to get to know each other, like, you know.
And I don't mind being different. I am aware that I'm different. Everyone's different. We're all individuals, but just let's not relate on that basis.
Yeah.
Because the word common ground, it implies that, right? We stand on whatever we both agree on. And like,
or common volcanoes.
Yeah, common volcanoes.
Like golf.
We stand on the same volcano. We're neighbors.
We have Mount St. Helen.
We got Mount St. Helen.
In, what is that, Washington?
I like wine tasting.
Do Costa Ricans make good wine?
No, they do coffee.
They do good coffee.
No wine. Yeah, because everyone knows about Costa Rican coffee. You guys got famous coffee beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do. I will say that I learned more about our own coffee when I was here than when I was there, because
the white people drink it.
Like, yeah,
and your coffee right here.
And white people took it and they ran so hard with it. Now they're like, well, you know, you can tell these beans were roasted 5 weeks ago. I'm like, what the fuck? And here's the thing, those things matter, like how old the bean is and the oils and all that stuff. It matters, and how it's roasted. But the commercial coffee that you buy in a grocery store back home comparatively is shit. I came here with under the illusion that, like, oh yeah, Costa Rican coffee is the best coffee in the world, and I'll like give people bags of, granted, the best stuff that I could buy over there, but it was still nothing to like compared to like the stuff there's here, because there's coffee shops here, like, you know, that go over there and they buy straight from the farmer, and then they bring it here and they roast it and they do all the shit here with the highest technology.
Yeah. Go over here. It's different, man. It's, what is it, baristas?
That's the person who makes coffee.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, you know, they actually study coffee. They want to be the best at their craft. So they try to like blend it to the best way possible. I don't know anything about coffee as much. Well, literally, I have a Keurig, and that's what I fuck with. So
I don't think the barista is that essential, but yeah. They're like the last, they're like the customer facing bit of the organigram. But yeah, that whole logistic that goes into it is kind of crazy how much it's grown. It's getting a little big in Costa Rica too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're starting to hoard their beans.
We gotta go down there and poke them with a stick.
They're like, nah, you can't have any more of our beans. We started to like this stuff.
Yeah, that's how it is with fruit too. Like, well, you can get some really delicious fruit if you grow yourself or you know somebody that grows it. But as far as like the biggest amounts of production, like at an industrial level, the best fruit is exported, and the rest is used for like making products that like fruit juice, or they just sell it like the defectuous looking ones that are as good, but for some reason they can't pass the quality.
They don't look aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty judgmental when I look at my fruit at the stores. It might be like a little cattywampus and I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
But then I see this perfectly red one and I'm like,
I think we all are, and that's why they're exploiting that.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously some thought that went into that, and they're like, okay, it's better when the lime section is just one big uniform mosaic of green circles. People just feel like it's a great experience.
A good
lime. Right.
It's a good lime, man.
Same thing with avocados. I hate seeing people like treating fruit or anything like shit in stores. It pisses me off. I've seen them, they don't know how to pick avocados, right? So they're like, they stick their fingers and their thumbs on it, and like, that's not how you pick an avocado. And then they like throw it back down. I'm like, dude, you know how much work went into that, like growing that shit and then bring it all the way here, you ungrateful piece of shit.
You're like an avocado police. Yeah. You pull up to the grocery store.
No.
And he's like, hold the fuck up. He's like, do you not know how to pick up that shit?
Put that avocado down.
He's like, get out of my way. What? Citizens, you want good avocados? Here.
No, I mean, well, I just hate that they're like, oh, this is a piece of shit, and they throw it down. Yeah. Like, dude, be gentle to it.
Shit has feelings, bro.
I get it that you don't give a shit about Kroger's profits. I don't either. But you should give a shit about, like, fruit and produce, because food waste is a huge problem in the U.S.
I think it's, like, one-third.
It's stupid, man. That sucks.
I worked at my first job here was being a graphic designer for this company that makes, you know, those misting systems on grocery stores that do the thunder and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Over there, but where all the celery and stuff is?
Yeah.
Oh, that spray the vegetables.
Plants and vegetables.
And you hear the thunder? Dude, I was such a kid. I would run to it. I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, that company is one of those that makes those. It's called,
like, the systems?
Yeah, it's called Produ in Marietta. And I was making, like, social posts and stuff like that for their Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do research like that, like, because a lot of their technologies are to extend the life of perishables, but in a non-chemical, like, intrusive way that will fuck you up and give you cancer. They do, like, misting systems and shit like that for mead and all that. So we did, we were doing some, like a little campaign on food waste, and we read some facts on that. I was like, fuck, man, like so many tons of food that people are like, oh, this fucking, this lettuce is not so great, and they throw it out, like, and they don't think about how much work went into making that, and how many. I know you can't ship it to Africa, or like you can't just mail it to Africa, I get it. But you should be a little bit grateful, right? That you got to eat that.
Yeah, I mean,
to have that.
We're far from the agriculture era, but we still like and understand, like, I don't know. But also, it's like when I go to the store, to be fair to the other person, but it's kind of like when I go to the store, I don't just look at a celery and I'm just like, man, that took fucking forever. You know, I wish I could just get like a little vision of the fucking farmer sweating his ass off. Like,
put a little video screen right there.
Yeah, put a little screen right there.
This is like, Jim Bob.
Like that dude that was actually breaking his back for this damn celery. And I'll be like, you know, I'll be more appreciative. But I feel like, you know, not to say that that guy was right for like being an asshole to the avocado. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know where I was going, but. Yeah, I just feel like you just got to think about it. You have to keep that in mind at all times whenever you go to the grocery store. I think that's the practice everyone should think about too.
The thing is that you don't make long-lasting memories if there's not like a strong emotion attached to it, I feel like. So if like you hear the stories of your parents like about how fucking they didn't have food or some shit like that, you're like, "Damn, you know that shit sounds hard. I'm really appreciative of food."
Oh.
You know, but these people that don't care about that, they've never had anything.
So I have a pretty good example that is completely straying away, but still on the same subject.
Yeah.
Because I was a waiter. And, you know, before I was a waiter, I used to just leave my dishes there on the table. But now after having the experience of being a waiter, it's just like, man, I need to pick my stuff up so it could be easier for the busboy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That, I feel like that's kind of like the same concept.
I try to make my plate a little bit neat, yeah.
Yeah.
Make it so that they can just pick it up. Some people are like, that's what they get paid for. And I get it. But like, yeah, if you had empathy, you'd be like, shit, I want that dude's not making that much money. It would be nice for me who can afford a meal here to just be nice to him to make his day a little better, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, I don't tip. But that's just because I'm cheap. I do tip.
Yeah, at least you're not like Luis over here throwing his fork everywhere, rice on the floor and shit, goodness. Man.
Damn. Am I speak like to that. The manager? Is that you?
I never do that. But I will say, like, on the food thing, one thing I wish they would do in more places is on, like, the pre-cut fruit, if they would write the name of the person who cut that fruit. Because I'm telling you, man, I get my pineapples sometimes that are, like, in they're, like, wedges. Yeah. Almost. They're like spears, pineapple spears. And I'll be eating them sometimes. And sometimes, I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's Lisa, Kevin, Tyler, Ron. I don't know who.
Hold up. They sound white.
Yeah. You know? I doubt they were white.
But it's at Publix, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about a can.
No. These are like in a plastic container kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm telling you, one of them puts way too much core in there, and I'm trying to take a bite of my pineapple spears, like, and I'm like, damn it, who cut this pineapple? But every now and then I get a good one, and I'm like, I wish I knew who that one was so I could go back to Publix and be like, hey, keep cutting how you cut. Yeah. Like, I'm not wasting any of this food because it'd be juicy.
There's some fruit ninjas out there working in Publix.
I feel like that would help me out because, you know, the cores, they're just too crunchy.
Yeah, dude, fuck the cores, man. I'm not about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whoever said that putting alcohol beverage in a pineapple, that's a genius right there.
That's pretty genius. So I've seen the ones where people hollow out the watermelon and put a little tap to it and fill up the watermelon with it.
Oh, shit. That one's nice.
I saw that on Pinterest one time.
Yeah. You don't have a Pinterest, bro? What?
Yeah, of course I do.
Wow, okay. Dude. Catch all my mood boards are there, so.
Dude, I have a lot of mood boards.
You're feeling moody.
It was actually kind of a game changer for me for just finding random stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dude, Israel has his whole wedding planned out on there.
Yeah, dude. No, I don't.
No, he does. He's got the venue.
That's the thing. I thought it was all cakes and like macrame and stuff, but I have like a board for Orphism, like all these like art movements, and you get suggestions and you just like start putting there.
Oh, dude, wooden palettes, man. People go crazy for those now because of all the things you can do with them that Pinterest showed you.
Yeah.
You can make like this bird feeder. You make some beds.
Yeah, man.
You can make like this salt shaker. I don't even know how they do it, but people like those palettes now.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, Draven. I always want to call you Draven. I don't know why.
Draven.
They're pretty close in letters, but I'll get it down. Graven. Yeah. So you mentioned that you dated quote-unquote white females.
Mm.
I'm sure you dated a couple of Costa Rican women in Costa Rica.
Mm.
So just curious. I've never dated a Costa Rican. Brazilian, but not Costa Rican. What are the differences? What do you like? What do you don't like?
We're talking about personality,
right?
Yeah, personality. We know.
Yeah, we don't objectify women here.
Yeah,
good. No, I mean, first of all, it's kind of hard to compare because, like I said, I came here when I was 18, and whatever you think dating is before you're 18 or whatever, it's not dating. It's just like the
You know, some extreme is extremely hanging out with your crush.
Extremely hanging out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say that in a lot of ways, Costa Rica is a little bit more conservative than the U.S.
So it's more like the traditional girls from like when our parents were growing up.
Wait, are you talking about where, like, you bring the biggest pig from your village
and show it to the dad? Do you get a dowry? Do you get a dowry when you get married?
You show it to your dad. No, you show it to their dad, and they're like, yeah, that's a good pig.
They're like, you can marry my daughter.
Yeah, you can marry my daughter.
That's hilarious. I want to think about the times when the dude got rejected. Get the hell out of here. Go fatten that pig up. Like, come back in 6 months.
Get that ugly-looking pig out of here, man. I said the fattest pig.
You fatten your pig up. I'll fatten my daughter up. I'll see you in 6 months, buddy.
If my daughter doesn't weigh more than your pig, you might as well pack your bag, son.
Yeah.
Shit.
So yeah, Mark, and just by the nature of like the how like households are and stuff, mm-hmm. you have to be like more like, you know, like most people live with their parents and you're just, like I said, just 18. And
yeah, that, I think that's so, and that's a USA weird thing. It's not
here. You get here and you're like in a dorm and suddenly you can sleep whatever and like your mom doesn't know and you're like, oh shit, you know. Mm. So it was, yeah, that was a difference, but that was more by virtue of the place and not the person.
Yeah.
So there was that. What else? Yeah, I feel like they're pretty similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I would say Hispanic girls. I wouldn't say just, you know, Hispanic girls are a little bit more loud and physical.
Loud and physical.
Yeah. But that's like, I wouldn't say that as a negative thing. That would be like a nice trait. I'd be like, dang, different form of expression.
Like, dang, you're really loud.
Yeah. Ouch, that hurt. Yeah.
You prepared me for my concert I'm going to.
Domestic abuse does not make sense outside the U.S., does it? I don't know.
What do you mean?
As in, like, it's not really, I think domestic abuse is pretty extreme, but I'm talking about, like, hitting, you know, like punching in the arm, but as playfully. I feel like that's more common outside the U.S., from my perspective.
In a playful way,
you mean? Yeah, I'm not talking about actual pain. I know I went a little extreme with domestic abuse.
No, yeah, it's okay, you can rephrase. It really depends on the place, right? Like, for instance, I only took one management class, and one thing that I do remember from it is they showed us all these like indexes of different cultures. Like, there was, for instance, the individuality index, which in the U.S. is super huge. Mm-hmm. People think of themselves first. They're individualistic society, right? And that's why there's so many people that get offended. Everything is about them. And then there's other places where they think more in a communal way, more about the collective. like a lot of Asian cultures have this, where they really think about the person next to them, their, you know,
their neighbors,
co-citizen or whatever you call it. Yeah, yeah, their neighbors. There you go. Better word. And so similarly with like physicality and stuff, some cultures, yeah, some people like really get on your shit. Like when I was a kid, my aunt, dude, and I know this is a little different because, you know, they're related to you and you're a kid, but like they'll pinch your cheeks and shit. And like, or like my brother, for like, I kiss my dad, for instance.
Yeah.
I don't think people in America do that.
No, that's considered weird here.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously it's on the cheek, but I kiss him everywhere and anywhere, like when I see him first and when I like say bye to him.
Yeah.
And same thing with my brothers. And like in Argentina, even guys greet each other with a kiss. So that's proximity, right?
Yeah.
Here in America, I felt, at least in the South, that
are you saying you kissed a guy when you came here?
No.
Dude, Graven was kissing everybody.
I'm saying that I have kissed guys when I was my brothers and my dad. And
yeah. But so, when you got to America, you quickly find out that you were going to get your ass beat.
No, because no. I didn't do it to people.
Everybody's like, oh, he's Costa Rican. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
People back home, I didn't do it outside of my family. But now that you say that, you reminded me of an actual like difference that you asked me earlier, because I did kiss women on the cheek when I met him, because back home that's like pretty common. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you shake your hand and then you kiss on the cheek. And then that's it. And I did it like once maybe. And it felt horrible, man. For some reason, it felt so awkward. I didn't do it in any like, you know, weird way. I was just like, hi, nice to meet you. Then I was like, oh, fuck, they don't do that shit here. It's so freaking weird.
What was her reaction?
She didn't like react in any way, but the whole thing was super weird because she didn't expect it. So it just came across super weird.
So the
weird
vibe just came off.
But like back home, you like meet people and like they do it, and it's totally normal. And now I've been here so long that when I go there, I barely even like touch people. Maybe shake their hand. Maybe that's polite. But yeah. So yeah, that's a huge difference. I feel like proximity. I feel like Hispanics are a little bit more in your all over your case when they're talking to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, hitting and stuff, I don't know. Did you guys have a douchey, since this thing is called the Bachelor Exchange, let's talk about some. I had a really douchey friend growing up in high school that had this custom of, like, hitting you in the balls every time he had
a chance. Dude, I hate that. Those were, like, the assholes growing up.
Yeah, was that a thing here?
That was definitely a thing, but it was only a thing to the people that thought it was funny, and usually the people that thought it was funny were assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that kid for that. Like, he was cool otherwise.
Was this in Costa Rica or was this in college? Oh, okay.
No, Costa Rica.
So you were getting getting sacked.
No. I mean, obviously, no. Dude, that would have been fighting words, okay?
Yeah.
It was like a couple times, and then obviously like I retaliated. I did the same thing. But after that, everybody was just defensive as fuck all the time.
Yeah, dude.
In my group of
like
friends.
Twitching for yeah. Every,
people would have their like arm in front of their balls for no reason. Like,
yo, what's up, bro?
Because yeah. You saw it coming, dude.
You're like, nah, bro, I don't need a kiss on the cheek this time. You stay over there. I'll blow you a kiss.
Toxic masculinity, right? That's what they call it. I grew up like
and the machismo.
Drowning in it, dude.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we all did. I feel like just until now it's getting like really sensitive.
Dude, I stayed away from those kids all the fucking time. Everyone knew who they fucking were, and I just stayed away.
The Chads.
Yeah.
And Kyles.
Yeah.
Kyle. Dang.
That's funny.
All right, so I think I got one more for you. So coming from Costa Rica to America, it's on that premise again. What is one cultural aspect of Costa Rica you wish was more prevalent in America?
I know that one. I got it.
Okay.
Heck yeah. I feel like going back to the individuality thing, there is a lack of like a sense of community here at a at the small level, you know? Mm-hmm. And that might be just because of how big the cities are. I get that. Like, the more people you have in a place, just by law of diminishing returns, people's lives just start seeming like more pointless. Because when you're in a small town and there's very few of you, my friend Todd, when he went to Costa Rica with me, he like pointed this out. It was like Sunday and we walked to a bakery shop that's like a couple blocks from my place. And in that distance, I saw like 10 people and we all had like some sort of inside joke, nickname or something. Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going? Like, cousin or whatever. People mm-hmm. back home call each other cousin for no reason.
Yeah.
And I think that makes life richer. And it comes down to like even like the way you shop. You know, I just said I walked to the bakery shop. I didn't fucking drive to Target.
You didn't ride a bird?
You didn't ride a bird. I like birds. They're fun. But yeah, like you don't drive into like a mall or like some... Like here is really weird. There's all this like separation. You got... I don't know if you've ever been carless for a while, like the suburbs, but it's terrible.
Oh, I bet.
You got like, you know, a little community here and then you have to drive like at least 3 miles to buy whatever. And back home you got like there's like a butcher shop and there's like a bakery shop and there's like, and you go to different places and there's like the baker, it's just so and so. And again, I get it, it's because of the, you know, less people, but here you just like, there's such lack of contact and like genuine interaction with people. And there's like a glorification of like, oh, I hate people, I stay in, I'm just like, you know, there's like a whole like internet meme thing going on. It's kind of cool to say like, oh yeah, I'm very antisocial, I always stay in, I'm like a cat or whatever. I'm like, dude, no, you're not antisocial. Humans are inherently social. We need people. We get depressed if we don't see people. We go crazy if we don't see people.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's why solitary confinement is a thing. But yeah, man, here's a little bit, you know, sterile when you like meet somebody.
Yeah, there is a lack of connection, and it's kind of like here. From my perspective, the only way you actually get that connection is when you're around close friends.
Yeah.
You build like this little tribe. And but we don't see that tribe as much as we like to, because, you know, we all have busy lives. And then also it doesn't help that the workforce in the United States, we get less vacation than any other country.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the country that works most. But I think things are changing towards that, to be more like Costa Rica, or like a lot of European countries are like that too, the small thing. Yeah. Look at things like Pond City Market. Yeah, you got a lot of stuff in one place, but there's living, there's working spaces, there's shops, there's all these different things. And I know that Pond City Market is kind of like a whatever. But there's that like walkability, you have to face people and all that stuff. So it's getting more towards like that, I feel like.
Yeah. Slowly and slowly, as it becomes a bigger city and more things are being constructed.
Yeah.
Especially around the area that we live right now, it's getting more constructed.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
I can't wait for that new park that they're going to build in the west.
ATL Ho?
Yeah, where the quarry is or whatever. I heard it's going to be bigger than Piedmont Park.
No shit.
Y'all hear about that?
No. I've heard about the Beltline being connected over here, but...
Yeah, you should look it up, dude. It's around this where the stadium is. You know how that area is a little bit rough? Apparently, there's a natural quarry over there, and they're going to build a park that's going to be, I don't know how many times bigger than Piedmont.
That's good. More parks, please.
Sounds like a perfect place for a beer festival.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to end off there since we're reaching that 1 hour mark. But yeah. You got any last words, Luis?
No, I just want to say thanks for coming on, Graven. Appreciated the insight.
Dude, honestly, I want Graven on the podcast more. You know, I mean, you live close. I feel like we can jump in on different topics when you come around.
Yeah, I mean, had fun. I'll like to if you guys won. If you guys are down.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. You got anything to say before closing off?
No, I appreciate it. It's an interesting conversation, guys. I like what you guys got going on.
All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you in the next one.
Peace.